Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. You can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. So why did David attack Goliath? We won't read this whole chapter here. I was assigned a short talk, so we won't take the time to read this. But why did he attack Goliath? That's a good question. It depends who you ask. We could ask Eliab, his brother. And he would tell us, well, that cocky kid brother of mine was showing off and got lucky. You could ask Saul why David attacked Goliath. And he'd sort of chuckle and say, well, I sweetened the deal for him. He got riches. He got my daughter. His family became free from taxes and military service. I don't know what kind of service, but that's why he did it. We could ask Malcolm Gladwell. And he'd say, well, that's easy. David was smart. Goliath was a stumbling, nearsighted, overgrown oaf with a brain tumor. And David had the equivalent of a pistol with his sling. And Goliath was the underdog, not David. Well, I would remind you that the Bible says Goliath was a champion. He was fit. He was strong. He was the best man they could put forward. And there was not a man on the battlefield that thought David could beat him. So, why did David attack Goliath? It's a motives question, and I think we should ask it. Too often we don't ask about motives. We assign them. We say, this is why I think somebody did something. But police look for motives. Even gossipers like to look for motives. I wonder why he did that. I like to suggest motives. And we naturally want to know why. I think it's another way of asking this question, why did David attack Goliath? Why do we tackle hard things? Why do we accept assignments that are larger than we are? Why do we attack giants? Because giants are alive and well today. I mean, big scary giants. Giants that wake you up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. Thinking about a confrontation and dreading how I'm going to handle this. How I'm going to deal with that giant or this one. After the break, according to the program, Carson and Verl will highlight two of these giants. One of them is disrespect in school. The other one is working with troubled families. Those are giants. So why should we attack these things? I'm going to break this topic down into three questions. These questions are all the same, but the emphasis is adjusted. So why did David attack Goliath? Why did David attack Goliath? And why did David attack Goliath? The man, the method, and the enemy. So why did David attack Goliath? So why David? As opposed to thousands of veterans standing around him, leadership had failed him. Saul was, it says in verse 11 of 1 Samuel 17, it says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So Saul was among that group of dismayed and greatly afraid. The entire Israeli fighting force had failed, paralyzed by fear, indecision. The fathers had failed. There should be no more Anakims in the land. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they should have already wiped all these people out. His fathers had failed him. It had become a generational, these Philistines had become a generational problem that the Israelites had gotten used to. Well, it's just the way it is around here. We have to deal with them. Now we're all the way down to David. Why David? Did you ever wonder, why me? How does this fall on my shoulders? Where is everybody else? Where are my leaders? Why do I end up with this? Well, David attacked Goliath because he was blessed with a big picture vision. He zoomed way out. And he could see, here's the armies of the living God, fighting for land that's already supposed to be ours. There's the uncircumcised hordes of pagans. Sorry to use that side for that. And there, representing them, is only one arrogant man. They've reduced all their fighting power into one man. The Philistines really have put everything in one basket. They've handed us a gift, if you look at it that way. And that one man is defying the living God. And with me is that living God who can't fail. I wonder what a big picture vision would do for us in our problem solving. Here's the problem. God doesn't want us to have this problem. In a sense, this problem is standing up and defying God. standing up against him saying, God can't fix this, and my thoughts are tempted to agree. But he's already promised victory. He's given me all the resources. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Would that help us? Here's a school child with a problem. This child created to glorify God. And the problems in his life are standing in defiance to that calling that he has. God's name and honor is at stake if this child isn't helped and guided. So this is a fight I need to wade into. Why David? Because he made himself available. He showed up. He was in proximity to a challenge. Well, you could say so was everybody else. But they weren't available. So what made him available? There's a few things. His industriousness made him available. You could see in verse 20 that he rose up early in the morning. He knew how to kind of peel that mattress off his back in the morning. His humility made him available. Is there a relationship between humility and courage? Think about that sometimes. Or pride and fear? It's counterintuitive because humility is quiet and pride is loud. But humility breeds courage and pride breeds fear. Humility will make you available. Proverbs says, before honor is humility. A variation of the old saying, you could say the only place honor comes before humility is in the dictionary. David had already been anointed king, but he had gone and put on his rubber boots, grabbed a feed bucket, and fed the sheep till his time came. And he arrived on the battlefield with no personal agenda of pursuing a legacy. His humility made him available. His faith made him available. I said humility breeds courage. Well, so does faith. The Lord will deliver me. Saul and all Israel, it says, were dismayed and greatly afraid because they heard those words. They heard words. And it struck the fear nerve. David heard those exact same words and it struck an entirely different nerve. It hit his faith nerve. This man is defying God. That's my God. I can go fight because I know God won't stand for this. So faith will give you the courage to tackle a giant. The Lord, he will be with me. His faithfulness in the past had made him available. In verse 34, it says, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear. They both took a lamb. Thy servant slew both, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. So do you have enough industry, humility, faith, and faithfulness to be available? Now, why did David attack? Why attack? Calm down, sonny boy. Saul probably has a team of negotiators working on this. We've got other options here. David had other options. He could do nothing. He's not a soldier. He's not enlisted. He could wait. Someone will step up eventually. He could bluff. He had an easy out when the armor didn't fit him. He could have said, it doesn't fit. I guess not after all. He could strategize till Goliath just got tired of it and left. Why not get creative and send a contingent of soldiers around behind the Philistines while they're focused on Goliath and attack them that way. Why are we letting them set the terms of engagement? Let's have a brainstorming session. But for David, it was time to attack. This problem had paralyzed the people of God for how long? Does anyone know? How long had this been going on by the time David showed up? 40 days. So that's over a month. Think of that. Every day, morning, evening, 40 days straight, almost a month and a half. And here's your tax dollars at work, Israel. This army sitting there watching. Every day they got up in the morning and listened to the broadcast by Goliath. Once after supper, just before bed. And here's this elephant in the room. No one would address it. The whole army was paralyzed. Does that ever happen in your school? In your church? Maybe it happens more in churches than schools, I'm afraid. No one attacks for fear of assassination, maybe. Everyone's waiting for somebody to do something. Some folks are ignoring it. Some folks are strategizing. Some are bluffing. David wasn't trying to be clever. He wasn't even particularly creative here. Fighting with slings was old stuff. Back in Judges, there was 700 sling fighters who could hit a hare at a hair breadth and not miss. So if you would have asked David why attack, he would have said, well, hello, there's the problem. Here's my solution. That's just how he was used to dealing with this kind of thing. See the problem? Deal with the problem. Now, don't hear me say we should never strategize, but I think there comes a point where it's just time to attack the problem. I believe wise confrontation is one of the most important life skills that maybe we don't hear enough about. If we can't confront problems, all we have left is problems. If we don't confront problems, all we have left is problems. Will we let lions and bears take lambs out of our flock while we strategize and agonize and wait? Now, why did David attack Goliath? So why Goliath? It is so easy to attack the wrong enemy. So he'd already had a confrontation with Eliab, and he chose not to engage. He had a confrontation with the king. He said, "I will go." And the king said, "No, you're not able." He could have been disgusted. "Well, you're the biggest man in Israel, head and shoulders above the rest of us. Why are you sitting here? You're the king." But in verse 30, I want you to look at this. After Eliab had publicly shamed him, verse 30, it says, "He turned from him toward another." That is incredibly difficult. He had learned the skill of disengagement in fruitless battles. So if you think that's easy, wait till you're personally attacked by a brother. Or wait till one of your children or your wife looks like the victim of injustice. Can you turn away from that fight and say, "Brother, you're not the enemy"? How easily can a little problem at school turn into a church-wide issue with brothers and sisters lining up against each other, swords drawn, words flying, all while Goliath is rolling around on the ground laughing at us? Losing sight of the real enemy is as easy as falling off a log. So let's string them all together now. Why did David attack Goliath? Why don't we just ask David why he did it? In verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Here's why, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Here's why, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Here's why, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.'" So here's a first grader. Here's a 10th grader. Good and evil grappling for control in this child's heart. Here's a small school, 10 to 30 students. Evil wants to win in that school. Unforgiveness wants to win. Disrespect wants to win. Here's a battle worth fighting. Why? So that all the earth may know that God is among us. The community will see children who love one another. The community will see adults who can work together. So that this assembly may know and see the power of God. Brothers and sisters having their faith strengthened. God can win miraculous battles when ordinary people have an eternal, big picture vision, make themselves available, are willing to confront and tackle problems, and have the God-given wisdom to identify the correct enemy. God bless.